that I'm having some difficulties.
Love
if you can hear
radio.
Me. I'm having difficulty right now getting on, so be patient with me. Somehow or another, you got it mixed up again, so stay on the line, Tracy. Hang in there, hang in there. I don't know what is wrong here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just declare and decree. Shuri Baba Sokora Sikiria. Yes, Lord. My will but your will be done. Teach me to know, Father, that the enemy has no power. What you want to do for me? He's a liar, he's a thief, he's a robber. And he does but a liar. And I declare and decree to those who listen, know what I'm talking about, but God's going to do you in for what you're doing. Father, your word declares, those who practice evil, those who do not come to you, Father, they shall be charged with what they're doing. And we just ask you tonight in the name of Jesus that you would just show mercy to the unmerciful. Let them know, Father, that all things work together. For we declare and decree this very night, nothing can happen but you're going to do. I said, thank you, Father. I said, thank you, Father. I said, thank you, Father. I come to you in the name of Jesus and asking you for all the things that you have done thus far. Will you keep me tonight, Father? Will you let me know that it's because of you I am what I am and I am who I am? I love you and I praise you. And I just declare, Father, in the name of Jesus, that all things will work together. But you, Father, you have a right to be on, you have a right in the earth land. I declare and I decree your word. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through the Lord for the pulling down of strongholds. And I believe, Father, that the strongholds are being destroyed. Those who are behind with practitioners in the movement, Father, you said that you would destroy them. I ask you to take charge of them, Father. I ask you in the name of Jesus right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are awesome, Father. There's none like your word. None, Father. Your word is above everything. Your word is awesome. It's your word that we believe in. It's your word I'm trusting. It's your word, Father. It's your word. I ask you tonight, Jesus, that you would take charge and show everything. Show, Father. Bring it to pass in the name of Jesus. And I know that they say, well, he's a weakling. He's praying a weak prayer. No, I'm not praying a weak prayer. I'm praying a faith prayer. I want the person who's doing all this, if they don't repent, they need to just be going straight to hell. Because they don't want to repent because they keep doing what they're doing. Every Monday night, I get the same thing over and over and over and over. But somebody's going to pay for this, Father. In this life and the life to come, because they know they can't. They need to go read the book of Revelation. They need to read the book. Hallelujah. Now, thank you, Father. Testing 1, 2, 3. Hello, Tracy.
Hello.
Tracy, how you doing?
Yes, I'm doing fine.
Amen. Thank you for your patience. But I think we didn't caught the goose trying to get the goodie. I think we caught him. So tell the Lord what the Lord is doing for you and through you and your word. But may I make an announcement also? Tracy is going to be one of the premier persons who's going to be a part of the board of directors of KASK radio station. I'm very proud to make that announcement. In addition to that, she has a show program on KASK radio station, and the title of your program is?
Pearls of Power.
All right, then. Go forward. Amen.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. Good evening, and welcome to Pearls of Power. I am so glad to be talking to you all this evening. I just feel so good in my spirit. I just feel so wonderful. My name is Tracy, and I am the teacher for this evening. My program tonight is a little bit segmented. The Lord has been leading me, and I've been studying about faith. But because of the season that we're entering in, I feel led to just share with the body of Christ and it's completely up to you, but I want to share my understanding of the high season that's coming upon us, Passover. Now, even though God has not commanded us to sacrifice bulls or goats, that has been done away with. However, the Lord still wants us to remember what He did for us, because the Passover is a type of the explaining what the Lord did for us at the cross.
Amen.
Exodus 12 says the Lord is our Passover. He's the Lord's Passover. And it says, when I see the blood, when he was speaking to Moses and giving the commands about the Passover, he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The blood is our pass. It cleanses us and it allows us access to God. And I just want to just share that with the people of God. He wants us to walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Christ is that Passover sacrifice, and that sacrifice is an aroma before God. Jesus has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself and offered one sacrifice for sins forever. That is very important. It's very, very important. I can just feel it in the atmosphere. Every year when the Passover season gets closer, I can just feel the solemnness in the spirit realm. It's different. There's something different. Let us turn to God during the season. Yes, it is a Jewish holiday, a Jewish festival, but we are branches grafted into the vine, and the principles and the concept is the same, and that is observing and honoring and remembering what our Lord did for us. It was no small thing that he did for us. And during this time of approaching Passover, let's do some soul searching, you know, in fasting and in prayer, in the Word of God, in gratitude for what he has done, in praise and appreciation. Easter falls right in the middle of Passover, right towards the latter part of Passover. And so we should be in reflection as New Testament saints on the entire plan of salvation, the sacrifice as well as the resurrection, because without the sacrifice, there would not have been a resurrection, and the sacrifice was equally important because that is where we got our right to the kingdom, as well as the resurrection as proof of the kingdom and victory over the grave. I mean, mm-hmm. I can just feel it. Can you feel it in the atmosphere? Jesus is our Passover lamb. This is one of the most holiest seasons of the year, the Jewish high day, when the Lord knew that his time was coming. His demeanor changed because he knew that he was about to be sacrificed, to become the sacrifice for the whole world. It's not a coincidence that Jesus died during Passover. It was the timing of the Lord. God planned it that way. He foreordained the Son of God to die during the sacrificial ceremony type of Passover. It was completely planned that way, that the true Passover would take the place of that type of Passover, and that is the reason why the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom without hands, because the true Passover, the Lord Jesus Christ, had came on the scene, and he died for our sins once and for all. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, Lamb of God is Christ. He is our Passover, and we are never to forget that. He wants us to remember that sacrifice and the price that he paid for us. And I'm just going to give you a few suggestions, and this is what I do. I don't take very lightly Easter season and Passover. I don't take it lightly at all, but I spend time in preparing for that. And these are just suggestions, but one of them is not a suggestion. Jesus said in Luke 22:19 that, you know, as often as you do this, he instituted the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. He instituted the Lord's Supper. He says, this is my body, and this is my blood. And so one thing that we can do is partake of the Lord's Supper during this time. And he said, as often as you need. So it's not a set amount of time during the Passover season. You could in honor of this time, you can partake of the Lord's Supper. Another thing that I suggest, and what I do is I read the Passion. I read when, you know, starting at when he was in the upper room, and then when he was in Gethsemane, and when Judas betrayed him, and when he was before Pilate, and before the high priest, and when he was scourged, and when he was crucified. I read each one of those because there's a little slightly different information, a little additional information in each four gospels. Mm-hmm. So I read that during this season. And Passover begins now in the Jewish holidays, the month of Nisan. Their calendar is a little different from ours, but it coincides this year between April the 14th to the 22nd. So we're quickly approaching the Passover season, and during this time, I began to start reading the Passion, you know, the Christ, the Lord's Passion, when the story of what happened to him during that time, and just meditating and thinking about it, and thanking our Lord often for what he has done for us. The Passover should be remembered and heightened during this time. It's a special time of praise and worship should can be instituted. You can spend time in praise and worshiping God and thanking him for what he has done. It should be a theme around this season of thanksgiving and commemoration and remembrance of what he has done. Another thing that I suggest, it's not a suggestion, but it is, and I'm not your pastor, but I'm just enlightening you, and I'm just giving you something to think about, and that is bringing an offering during this season to the Lord. In Deuteronomy 16:16, the Bible speaks about there are three festivals that the Jews had to observe every year. And it was the Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And Deuteronomy 16:16 required that every male had to participate during those three high holidays. And it says at the latter part of that verse, and none should appear before me empty-handed. None should appear before me empty-handed. And so what I'm suggesting to you is, during this time of year, you know, do what you can do, the best you can do according to your heart, your relationship with the Lord. During this time of year, bring an offering of thanksgiving to the Lord for what he has done. I just really believe that, you know, in obeying the Lord and being led by the Spirit and you know truth when you hear it, in obedience there is blessing. There is blessing when you obey the unction of the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit is leading you. There is an intensity in this atmosphere, a very thick presence of God during this season. And I want to give you a prophetic word. The Lord told me, for all who will press in will be rewarded. For all who will press in will be rewarded. Seek God during this Passover season with fasting, prayer, and worship, and behold your miracle. Draw near to God during this season, and you will experience more of God. Come to God during this time of Passover and intensity, and God will wrought miracles in your life. Now, you can take what you want with that word, but that is what was stirred up in my heart, and I've shared it with you. And this was not my message for this evening, but it was on my heart because I'm in this season, and as a minister of the word, I felt that I should share that with the people of God, that if you press in during this time, God will he will bless your life. If you have never prayed before, this is your time that you should be praying. If you have prayer requests, needs and wants, and we all do, let me tell you, now is the time. This is the stirring of the waters, and when those waters are stirred, hey, that is your time to jump in. That is your time to jump in and get your blessing. And I just wanted to share that. I just take a few minutes and share that with the people of God. And you know, you can do with that information as you please, but I want to share that with you. But my message is on faith, okay? We spoke on faith last week, and we're going to speak again on faith for the few minutes that I have left this week. We'll start with Luke 17:5, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. They said they asked Jesus to increase their faith. And Jesus goes on to go into a little dialogue with them, and he goes on to say, well, if you have faith of a as a mustard seed, then you can say to the mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey. Okay, now, they asked for an increase. Jesus was not concerned with the increase. Jesus said it is not, what he's referring to is not the size of the faith. It is your exercising of the faith. The disciples thought if they had an increase of faith that they could wrought miracles. Jesus says you don't need an increase of faith. If you had a mustard seed is very small, I'm not going to go into details with it, but I looked at a mustard seed in some of the health food stores. Mustard seed is very tiny. And Jesus says it's not, he's saying, he's trying to teach them, it's not the size of your faith. You don't need a lot, you know, it's not the size, it's that you have faith and that you exercise your faith. It is not the quantity of faith that you have. Because we've all been given the measure of faith, we established that last week, but it is your exercising of the faith that you have that creates the results that you want. So he wants us to understand that even a very small amount of faith is sufficient enough to get the miracle that we want. Because when you speak, listen, if you're speaking to a mustard tree, talking to it, saying, be plucked up and moved into the sea, well, we know that, you know, that requires a supernatural hand to do that. So Jesus is saying, if you just had faith and don't doubt, you can be able to do the impossible. So it's not increasing my faith. It's not so much a size as it is we need to exercise our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, but we walk by faith and not by sight. Okay, to walk by faith is to regulate, let me tell you what that means now, it is to regulate our lives, our conduct, and conduct ourselves by our convictions and by our beliefs. We regulate our lives, all of the decisions that we make, the choices that we make as children of God, it is regulated by our walk of faith. Our decisions are made on what we know in the word of God, and it is by faith. It is not by sight. It is not by what is seen or evident or apparent, but it is rather what we know to be true as we have learned it. It says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we walk by our knowledge of the heavenly order, by our knowledge of the principles and the laws and the systems that are of the kingdom of God. So every choice that we make, every decision, the way we conduct our lives, the way we treat people, our finances, every decision and choice as a child of God we make is based upon our knowledge of the heavenly order and the heavenly system, and that is by faith. But if we don't know the system or the order of the kingdom of God, then how can we conduct our life by what we don't know? So it is very important to learn the kingdom of God, the ways of God, the will of God, the principles of God, so that we can make decisions about our lives and walk by faith. God is training his people now to be kingdom-minded. He's gradually teaching us how to operate in a kingdom way. And he expects us to be transformed and conformed to his way of thinking and his way of doing things, which is by faith. If we do not know his way of doing things, then how can we walk by faith? We can't walk by what we don't know. So we have to learn the ways of God. We have to learn the order of the kingdom of God, because we are children of another kingdom. Our lives, our names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is not that is literal. I want to tell you, our names are registered in heaven. John says he saw and the judgment was set and the books were open. Okay, and if your name was not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, they searched for it. If your name is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're in trouble. The Lamb's Book of Life is the heavenly registry, and your name has to be found in it. So there are principles to the kingdom of God. There are laws of the kingdom of God, and God expects us to get to be familiar with them and to know them. So we have to learn them. So one way, there are several ways. There are three ways that I have learned that we get to understand the kingdom and the order of God. And that is, one, by the Holy Spirit. Because it says, he shall lead you into all truth. Because the Spirit of God, he is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is our personal guide and tutor. So he will constantly be teaching us about the ways of God if we will listen. He will teach us about the kingdom of God, the ways of God, the thoughts of God, the mind of God. Another way to learn the kingdom of God is by the word of God. He says, thy word is truth. The kingdom of God is truth and righteousness. So another way is by his word. And then the third way is by the ministers of the word of God. The Bible says in Romans 10:13-15, how can they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? So the preacher is vital to the growth of the believer. He's very important. He or she is very important. And the word of God coming from the mouth of the man and woman of God births faith. Because when you, it says, how can they hear unless without a preacher? But, and so the preacher has to be sent so that he or she can speak the word. And when you hear the word coming out the lips of faith, of an anointed man or woman of God, faith comes. Faith comes by what? Hearing. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. That man or woman of God preaching the word of God births faith by grace, by the Holy Spirit, into the hearer. So you cannot dismiss the preacher, okay? No matter what, whoever said what, you need the pastor, the teacher, the prophet, the evangelist. You need all of them. You know, you need that five-fold ministry grip. Let me tell you something. Nineveh would have been destroyed if Jonah would not have repented and went back and preached repentance to that city. They would have been destroyed. Jonah had to obey God and turn back around. And when Jonah opened his mouth, that anointed mouth, and preached repentance and the mercy of God, that entire city believed and turned from their wickedness and was saved from destruction. Hey, let me tell you, that's very important. I would say that preacher Jonah was very important. The words that were coming out of his mouth produced faith in that wicked nation, and they believed the man of God, and they turned from their wicked ways, and they were spared. So the word of God from the preacher that is sent can birth faith in the hearer if they will receive it. These are three ways that we can understand the will of God and the ways of God and the order and the system of the kingdom of God. And when we understand the will of God and the ways of God and the order of God and the system of God, then we take what we know, and we apply it to our life by faith. So the word of God and the spirit of God and the preacher found in the house of God is vital to your faith walk. Okay? It's vital. It's very, very vital to your faith walk. So when we are being trained by the Spirit and the Word of God, okay, we take what we know and we order our lives and our choices and all of our decisions. We conduct our lives around the guidance of the Spirit, the truth of the Word of God, and the teaching, preaching, exhortation, edification, rebuking, reproof of the man of God. Now listen, the Spirit-filled, sanctified, holy man of God. That's the difference. Okay, not just any old somebody. And I'm talking about someone that's walking with God. Listen, our faith is tried, our faith, I'm sorry, is tied to our knowledge of the order of the kingdom of God. And the knowledge of the kingdom of God is by the Spirit, the Word, and the preaching. Our faith is connected to our knowledge of the Word. So it is very important for you to know the Word of God. It's very important for us to get in the Word of God and to study the Word of God. It's vital to our walk of faith, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. So I'm not going to get too much on that, but that's why it's important to go to the house of God. The fivefold ministers are found in the house of God, and that's where the word of God is going forth over the pulpit, and you're getting that word, you're getting instructed, you're getting corrected, you're getting edified, your faith is strengthened. For those that say, and I'm going to tell you something personal, my personal experience, I could come to the house of God, you know, just weary and beat down. And I cannot tell you how many times I have left refreshed, left stirred up in my spirit, left encouraged. It takes your faith sometimes to another level, just being under that anointing and that presence. But I'm not going to say too much on that. I just wanted to share with you that it is important to come to the house of God on a regular basis. I understand that, you know, you can get it from the TV and the internet, and those are additional means to hear the word of God. But they are supplements, not primary way of getting the word of God. We walk by faith in the word of God, by the leading of the Spirit, by the principles and the truths taught, expounded by the preacher. And walking by faith, as you know, is pleasing to God. Galatians 5:6 says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." But faith working through love. Faith is. Let me tell you something about faith. When you decide to take that faith walk, I can tell you personally, faith is going to cause people to look at you crazy. They're going because they do not understand. They do not understand because they don't have that faith element. Okay? They don't have that, if you want to call it, sixth sense. They don't have it, so therefore they don't understand. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." The natural man, those that are without Christ, those that do not have the Holy Spirit, they cannot understand your faith walk when you decide to walk by faith. The Bible says it's foolishness to them that you read your Bible every day. It's foolishness to them that you fast up until 12 o'clock a few days a week, or you fast your breakfast, or you may fast your lunches. It's foolishness for them that you would give any portion of your money to the church. It's foolishness unto them, and they cannot understand it because faith is a gift that the believer has. We understand it. We believe it. But to the natural mind, to the natural man outside of the Holy Spirit, they don't get it. They literally don't get it. And so you must know when you're walking this walk of faith, you're taking God at his word, you're believing God, it can be a pretty isolated walk, because even those that are born again, you have to make the choice to walk by faith. It's not automatic. You choose to believe God and do what he says to do. And that's the walk of faith. It's, now listen, Hebrews 11:1. Oh, well, you know what? I'm running out of time. But I just wanted to just let you know that faith is so potent that God calls faith the actual substance that you are believing for. But I am going to stop right here because my time is up. But I want to, anyone that has been listening that does not know Christ as their Lord and Savior, I want to extend that invitation to you right now to accept the Lord Jesus into your heart right now. And it is as simple as repeating this prayer with me, but just meaning it from your heart. You repeat after me, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me for my sins. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I thank you, Lord. You are my Redeemer. If you pray this prayer and you meant it from your heart, in Jesus' name, you're a born-again Christian. And I would love to hear from you. I am Tracy, and I'm going to turn it back over at this time to Dr. Hunter.
Okay, well, Tracy, don't leave the line. I have another person I'd like to talk to. Sonia, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All righty. Tell us what God has done for you out there in New Jersey by way of Texas.
All right. Praise God. We just give him the glory tonight. You know, we serve such a wonderful God, and I appreciate my sister coming on before with that on faith and believing. That's a word that the Lord has given me today in John 11:40. And I tell you what, if we are believers, we need to believe. That's what a believer is. We need to believe. I want to just go back a little bit and start out with the beginning of the chapter, because we are talking about the death of Lazarus. And this is one of Jesus' good friends, you know, a place where it was a place very familiar to him. It was a place he went by often. You know, you can imagine you have some friends, you stop by there often, you all keep in contact with one another. Well, this was Jesus' friend. And, you know, just giving you a little background, because that's a lot to read. But, you know, to give a little more background, you know, they sent word to Jesus to let him know, you know, your friend is sick. And that was an expectation for him to come as soon as he heard what was going on. But Jesus had a greater insight on what was happening here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times we jump off the handle, or we have a knee-jerk reaction when we hear some news about somebody going through something. You know, the bottom line is as a believer, our first reaction should be to believe what God said about it, not what the world say about it, the medicine bottle say about it, or the doctor say about it, because, you know, all these symptoms, you know, the doctors will tell you a report and tell you all a list of what they need to do. But these doctors are just practicing. That's what it's called, a practice. They practice in medicine. But our God is not practicing on us, you know, and he called us to believe, you know, and that's the whole thing about this matter. As a believer, is that's what we got to do in every situation, every circumstance we face, we are believers. So I want to just jump right on 11 and 40. Jesus is talking to one of the sisters of Lazarus, and the scripture says, Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?
Yes.
If you would believe, you would see the glory of God. You know, I love that word because that's who we are. We are believers, and we are called to believe God, not our situation, not our circumstances, not the symptoms, but we're called to believe God when we say we believe Him. You know, with our military background, you know, when you have joined the military or when you've enlisted in the military, you're no longer in the world. You know, so you got to do things like the military say do them. You know, as believers, we got to believe in what we believe. You know, we believe chairs are holders. We sit down without inspecting that chair. But are we believing in every situation and circumstance that comes up? Are we believing if a pink slip comes and they say you don't have your job anymore or the check, you won't get your check? Because a lot of countries, people work every day, but they don't get a check over in Africa a lot of times. They're working for the government. They're working for the most solid thing in their country, and they're not getting paid. You know, if something happens, who are we believing in? We believe the world? Jesus is just saying here, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. You can put your trust in the world, and you won't get what you'll get if you put your trust in God. And you know what? It's very dangerous as a believer to have unbelief. Unbelief is evil. That's what the Bible says. And all unbelievers have a place in the lake of fire. This unbelief is very dangerous. And, you know, we play around with it every day. Every situation, every circumstance calls us to make a stand for whether we believe or not. And you can, you know, everybody knows they can check their own self on what they do when something happens.
Amen.
As we walk, you can see what you're doing, whether you believe it or not. What you put in your faith in, you can see it in every situation, every circumstance. Every step Martha and Mary made when Lazarus died, you could see how they believed. You know, this man was dead for 4 days. That sounded like Texas folk. He was dead for 4 days. 4 days. I mean, he was good and dead. I mean, that's about dead as you can be, 4 days. It wasn't 30 minutes. It wasn't an hour. It wasn't 24. It was 4 days. So this miracle was done on the basis of if you can believe, you will see the glory of God. And everything that's done with God is based on our belief. It's not based on the 5 steps that we can hit. It's whether we believe or not. It's not based on if we go to church every Sunday. It's whether we believe or not. These folks were touching Jesus with belief every time a miracle happened. The woman with the issue of blood believed. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I believe I would be healed. You know, the blind man, when they told him to shut up, blind Bartimaeus, he believed that Jesus could heal him. He wouldn't shut up. You know, these things are about belief. Oh, faithless generation, we got to be a faithful generation. The centurion, he believed. He said, speak the word only. And even to the unbelievers that are listening, you know what? You have to believe. You got to believe in something. And nothing is as sure in this world but Jesus. The only thing that you can get, because everybody, when you leave this world, you're leaving all the stuff. You're leaving everything back here that you fight for, that you get in the rat race for, that you stab in the back for, that you step on people for. All that's left. And you're going to be before God, and he wants to know what you believe. And he already knows. Our time here on earth is temporary. It's a small period. Eternity is eternity. And that's what it's about.
Amen.
And it, and it starts with believing. It consists with believing, and it ends with believing. Believing never quits. You have to believe. And if you can believe, or if you would believe, you will see the glory of God. You know, all this, as the sister was saying before, it's by faith and believing. And you know what? I can't separate the two. There just ain't no way to separate the two.
Amen.
And that's all God
Amen.
Requires of us. He does everything else. I never seen anything like that. I've been around all kind of people all over the world and all type of religions. No other religion is like this. All you have to do is believe. If you believe. Because, see, your actions will follow if you believe. Believe has an action that follows. And every other religion, you got to do something. You got to do their list. And if you don't do their list the exact right way, you won't get whatever they say you're going to get, which is all a lie. But the bottom line is all God requires to do is believe him. And everything else is on him. He already said he did the finished work of Calvary. He set us in heavenly places. He's his spirit is, does the work from the inside out on us. All we got to do is believe. And it's a done deal. You know, Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who don't want peace with God? That's what all
Amen.
Of us want, is peace with God. And it's justified by faith, not by the five steps you can do. You getting up praying at 5 o'clock in the morning and you getting up praying 3 hours. No, if you believe if you believe the Spirit will work it all out through you. If you believe, your body will be surrendered, a living sacrifice. If you believe, right believing produces our right action. But if we don't believe, and if we don't believe right, it's not going to work. We got to do what this word says. We got to go by the Spirit. We got to allow the Spirit to have his free course. You know, a lot of times, you know, I was talking to a sister today. She said, well, you know, sometimes I know people are praying in the flesh. We were talking about the church and how sometimes the church is operating out of the flesh or operating out of the traditions or customs. You know, that's just not going to cut it. It's real simple, and it's with belief. It's real simple. We can't do what we see these people have done for years and years if it's not belief, if it's custom and tradition. You know, these Jewish people, they wear the black suit with the tassel hanging down. They got their uniform on, and that's not believing. But they know how to do their custom. That's not belief. We have to come out of these traditions. We have to come out of these customs. You know, Jesus looked at the Pharisees and said, you exalt your customs and traditions above the word of God.
Wow.
Believe.
Wow. Faith.
Believe. Believe. The sister was right. You got to be in this word because that word going to help you believe. That's how you're going to believe. You got to know to believe. You know, God is in us, drawing us by his Spirit to believe. If you would believe, you would see the glory of God.
The glory of God. Hallelujah,
believe.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Well, I tell you what, my beloved. One thing I will say tonight to both of y'all. Y'all have raised my expectation to believe more than what y'all both y'all didn't talk to each other today, but see how the Holy Spirit used both of y'all to talk about similarities as the same message, but different in context. But Jesus, and what I love about both of y'all talk about the traditions. A lot of people in America around the seven globes love tradition. And I say this with love and kindness. There is much work to be done. The more we look on the horizon and see God's word, and you talked about we're moving that time where we're going to go into Easter. In America, in Houston, Texas, out here where I live at, there are more young people that know more about how to roll a dope, curse, fire pistol, don't want to go to church, But see, it's all because we took the government at risk. And the government said, you can't touch your child. Then the government turned around and said, well, you need to take care of your child. So the question is, wait a minute, you told me I couldn't touch him, and now you want to take care of him. He's still under my house. Why can't I do what the Bible says? To chastise him. Oh, you can't beat him. You can't hit him. Well, you need to do what God's going to do. He don't do it. And I say this. I know I'm out of context, but this is on my heart because I see so much happening in Houston. And I see a lot of the pastors and preachers and fivefold ministers, and I've asked a lot of them, let's do this here. Well, we don't do this. We don't do this at our church. You don't do what? Well, no, we don't do this at our church. What? No, we have a board. And so why is the Holy Spirit abiding to come in? Go back to the word tradition. We have too much of tradition in the Baptist, Presbyterian, the whole ball of wax. The whole ball of wax. And they just gonna see. I pray to God tonight that somebody listened to what y'all were talking about tonight and heard what God was saying. Because now, see, I've been in the military and I know in different countries over there they eat up with their hands. Black folks don't believe in eating their hands in Houston, reaching there and getting the food out the way out. See, but over there in India they learn to do that. In Pakistan they learn to do that. And up near the Baltic Sea, they begin to eat raw hamburger meat. I ain't never eaten no raw hamburger meat. I'm from Texas. But you see, I love you, Lord. And yes, Lord, I love you. Every now and then, you have to see where you're standing at, because if you don't, you're going to fall by the wayside. And we cannot, beloved, get caught up in tradition. Tradition is like a social security number. Once you get it, the only time that lose that number is when you, they say, well, he no longer exists on this side. And I say this to everybody. There's a number that God has, and that number is a number that no man can count. That's the number we all want to be in. And I was telling someone the other day what God was doing. See, God, hallelujah. See, the God the Father, he took Israel and he brought Israel to a point. And for 400 years, they couldn't hear words from God until John the Baptist came on the scene. But he came preaching a new gospel. They said, wait a minute. We ain't never heard nothing like this before. No. Moses didn't tell us all of that. Isaiah didn't tell us all of that. But he stood and he began to teach about Jesus. And Jesus said these words. He said, but John said, he says, there cometh one whose shoes that I am not worthy to untie. And he shall baptize you. He shall baptize you. He shall baptize you. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Ghost, and with fire, and with fire, and with fire, and with fire. Woo, Jesus. A lot of people are there. Why we got some the people don't want to receive the Holy Ghost, beloved sisters? Can we talk about that for a few minutes? Are you still there? Are you still there?
Why?
Is it because of ignorance, stupidity, or what?
Yeah, all of that, all of the above. But I think that people are afraid of what they don't understand. You know, we live in an age of, you know, you have to explain it to me first. You know, I have to understand it. I have to be in control. And they're afraid of, they may lose. Now, this is my opinion, you know. they're going to lose control, you know, or they're not going to have any say so, or you know, I heard this one lady say that she said she didn't want, you know, to live for God because she wanted a tall, dark, handsome, fine man. And she thought that God wanted to give her a little short, fat, dumpy, little bald head, you know, ugly, beard, you know, man. People don't trust that God is good. And God is good to God's good to us. He wants the best for us. I mean, for the life of me, you know, I just forgot the subject. We had a certain cake, some cake. I can't remember, but they said, "Do you mean to tell me that you should eat cake in this church? Or why wouldn't you be able to eat cake in church?" You know, it was an occasion that we were having. They have, and maybe it's because, you know, maybe it's television. The people put out these negative ideas about Christianity and what it means to be a Christian. And I heard one preacher say that he didn't want to answer the call of the ministry on his life because he felt that he thought that he had to live a life of poverty, and that he, you know, and couldn't have anything. I think there are a lot of misconceptions and misunderstandings of what it is to walk with God, and that don't understand that God is good for us and he wants the best for us. They just don't understand. They have a real misunderstanding about the plan. They don't know the plan of God for their lives, but they misunderstand the goodness of God. I think that's one of the reasons. And, you know, and they're afraid because they don't know. They don't know about that unseen realm. It's there. It's evidence, but they really don't understand it, and so people tend to shrink back from what they don't understand.
Mm-hmm. What do you say about it, son?
That was good. That was real good right there. I agree with her. And, you know, a lot of people are not searching. You know, God called us to search for him. You know, and he also called us to seek through these scriptures and things. And a lot of times, you know, you see a lot of people will just sit back and listen to whatever, whoever's telling them about the Word of God, mm-hmm. and they're not reading the Word for themselves. So, you know, when she started to say what she was saying, I was like, that's real good, because it just lets us see that, you know, we do have to search for him. You know, we need to hunger and thirst after righteousness because, you know, once we are born again, you know, he's drawn us by his spirit. He's called us. And we need to, you know, we need to get involved here. You know, we need to search out these scriptures for ourselves. I mean, we just cannot sit and just wait on it to fall in our laps, you know, and take our Bibles to church and then throw them in the trunk. Leave them in the back window until next Sunday, you know, and they all faded out. I mean, we have to read our word. You know, can you imagine being a soldier in the army and you never go clean out your weapon or you never take it to the range and fire it? So when it comes the day of battle, you don't even know how to put the weapon together. You can't put the suit on. You can't do nothing. And when you really need it and when you really need to do something, you're not prepared. And, I mean, we need to be prepared every day. You think
every
the enemy
day.
Just sitting over there throwing out a red carpet, talking about, come on, walk over here, Christians. We ain't doing nothing. We just going to watch you walk. No, we are in warfare.
We're in warfare. That's it. That's
but, I mean,
the
we're not by ourselves now. We're not by ourselves. But, you know, we need to, we got this word. You know, there's been thousands of years, the sources that have been invented. We got the whole New Testament. You know, these people back in the day when Jesus was walking and right after he went up to heaven, they didn't have all this stuff we have. We got computers. We got everything. Yeah. You can put your iPod in your ear. You can put your MP3 player on and have it going on at night, all kind of stuff we got. You know, we need to get engaged. We are believers. We need to start believing and act like believers, walk like believers. You know, pick up our sword, our Bible.
Amen.
How are we going to do anything? Well, you know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. How are we going to put the armor on? We can't do nothing if we don't have our Bibles and we don't read our Bibles.
Jesus.
How you going to cook the cake if you don't know the recipe?
Praise you, Father. Praise you. Well, you know, one of the things I'm here sitting and I'm having fun, and I want y'all to hang in there with me. I took a little quick note down there, some things y'all said. Tradition, don't understand, a handsome man, misunderstanding. And I look like y'all both hung on the word, don't understand, misunderstanding. So then it deems to the factor that the fivefold ministry is not teaching the word of God.
Uh-uh.
Oh, is that true? The word y'all talked tonight was the fivefold, full of power.
Well,
hello.
You know, hello.
Are
we there?
Yeah.
You know, I really can't say that the fivefold minister is not teaching the word of God. The word is going out and going forward like never before. You know, like I said, we have so many means of accessing the word of God via internet, and, you know, TBN and Daystars around the globe. And you have iPod access to different powerful teachers, you know, the word of God. And so radio broadcast stations, I mean, the word of God is everywhere, and the word of God is going forward with anointing, it's going forward with conviction and power. But I just really think that, you know, the Bible says in Latter-day men would not be able to withstand sound doctrine, you know. They will be having itching ears, you know, and wanting to keep themselves doctrines that are more sinner friendly, you know, because they want. They want to do. People want to do what they want to do, and they want. They'll put on this show, you know, the show where they'll go to a church, you know, a false church. That'll preach what they want to hear. What are you going to church anyway for if that's the case? That you might as well be going to a movie theater. But they'll put a preacher up there that wants to say what they want to hear so that they will not be convicted and they won't have to change their ways. So I don't really think it's the word's not going forward. Is that people can't endure sound doctrine and they don't want to hear it, you know, and they don't want to change and they don't want to come out of their that lifestyle, that fleshly, worldly lifestyle. You know, Jesus says Jesus says in the Word of God that they know that the earth and creation testifies of Him, but they know what they're doing. They testify of creation and His existence, but they don't want it. They reject it, and so they'll be judged.
Well,
Can I chime in on something? He stepped on my toes a little earlier, so I had to say ouch. You know?
Ouch.
one good point. I want a caveat on you. One good point that
Amen.
I needed to say something about was the what you said earlier about losing control. That's a good one right there. People don't want to lose. They don't want to let go, and that's what Jesus calls us to do: lay down your life. I really like what she was saying about that. You know why? I think it was your question about why people won't receive the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing that you're talking about now. This control issue. You know, it's like we control freaks nowadays. You know, you can't let go. You know. And, you know, I see that in everything. You know, people want to control everything. They want to control each other. They want to control the relationship. The dating sites, they claim, okay, this is a control environment, you know. That's why you should get on eHarmony.com or Match.com ChristianMingle.com because it's controlled. No, you know, and that's what fails now because everybody want to be in control. You know.
I want to do. I want to do this while I got y'all on the line with me. Is it all right?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, one of the things that I know, I have a friend of mine who's a retired pastor, built a beautiful church in Houston, did all he could do. They sent around the nation, the church had hold about $2,000 or $3,000 in one building, and they got it. It sits in a particular place in Houston, and the boy grew up in ministry. He and I grew up together. But all of a sudden, he retired. They go there and choose a young man who don't know. They say he has a good voice. He's very intelligent. I ask one question. Does he have the Holy Ghost to lead you? Well, we didn't get that far. Well, that's the first prerequisite of man of God in the fivefold ministry. How can you lead somebody in your own self? We had 600 people who applied for it across the nation and here and there, but this is what they chose. I said, you know what? It's a setup. Let me tell you what's happening in Houston. In Houston, Texas, they're letting more homosexuals come into Houston. And a lot of the homosexual lesbians and murderers and thieves, if you see the news, if you take a quick look at the news, you'll see what we're saying. Because the devil has no mercy. Why should I have mercy on him? If I can reach and snatch somebody out of a darkness, should I not bring him out? I believe I should.
Amen.
See, I tell people that it hurts me to my heart. I tell people, I love my brother. Tall fellow like me, handsome like me, but he chose the opposite life. I prayed for him. I said, brother, will you accept Jesus Christ? He said, I'm all right. I said, no, that's not the question. Are you saved? He said, I got it made already. Until the last hour, we don't know if he accepted Jesus Christ or not. And my sister and brother got angry with me. He was hard on brother, and brother says, you died. I said, He knew what he was doing. But he did what he did. He was controlled, here we go again, by the Spirit. And I prayed for him, but he never would let go. And so I just said, okay, my brother, I said, I love you. I thank God for you. I'm still praying for you. I done laid hands on you and called a demon and left you once and you let him come back in. I say nothing I can do to help you. If people say you were dead wrong, huh? Was I wrong? Hello, audience. Was I wrong?
Ma'am? For telling him the truth?
Yeah.
No, I'm of the opinion that you were not wrong. You know the truth. This is not a game. This is serious.
It's not a game.
This is life and death. This is the ground that we're walking on right now in the land of the living is actually a determining ground of where we're going to spend eternity. And, I'm telling you, if he didn't turn his life around, I'm telling you right now, if he didn't make a decision for the Lord,
it's not a joke.
You have to speak up. You have to tell the truth because when people pass on to that next life, this is very serious. The things that we're doing right now, going to work, taking care of bills, whatever, blah blah blah. I mean, that's a consequence of living here, but that is not the first and foremost and fundamental because you can't take none of this is going with you. It's determined what you're doing for the Lord. And someone has to tell you.
I know. But I also say,
Amen. Also, take notice of this. When they found him,
I want to say one more thing about that. They said the Titanic. They said when the Titanic, you know, that big large boat years ago that went under. They said that it had 20 lifeboats on that Titanic. And they said some people were able to get on the little lifeboats on the Titanic, but many of the people were left in the frigid waters. And of course, being in the frigid waters, your organs are going to eventually stop and freeze to death. Well, it was 20 lifeboats, and some people made it, but they said that on those lifeboats there was still room for more people to enter those lifeboats, but they got so comfortable with being in the lifeboat, they didn't try to bother to save other people that were in the frigid waters. Well, to make a long story short, out of those 20 lifeboats, only one made it back. Only one of the 20 boats, even though they were in those lifeboats, only one of the 20 made it back. They got so comfortable they didn't bother to reach out to help those that were in the deadly water. And so sometimes in our salvation, we don't want to get to the point where I'm saved. I hope you make it. You can't have that mentality. You know, you have to tell people whether they want to hear it or not, because fathers, like Jesus said, they don't know what their is. They don't know. They don't understand that there is a heaven or that there is a hell, and the depths of this consequence, how grave this decision is. And what I'm saying to you is everything. And so whether they like it or not is beside the point. We have to tell them, because they don't understand how grave this decision is. They know not what they do. They don't know who they're rejecting. They don't know that the destiny that they're on. They have no clue. So, but because I know, I have to walk that higher road, and I have to do what I have to do, and I have to tell them whether they like it or not.
Amen. You have to know. And because, see, Satan has a desire to sift mankind as wheat, as wheat. Because if he can sift him, as he can destroy the seed. And that's why God sent Jesus Christ. One other thing I will take notice to say tonight as we're talking is this. One of the most one thing that we see that's happening all over America, if you notice, there's earthquakes happening in California.
Yes, and fires all over the place.
Fires. And see, God wants to get those of us who are ready for him. And I always say, are you ready? Are you ready, 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 ready? Are you ready, ready, ready? Some people say, no, not yet. Well, you better get ready. Because when I was in the military, when they saw that, if you wasn't there, just lock you where he was. So it goes the same with God. If you're not ready when God come back to take us back home, you have missed it. You are AWOL, absent without official leave. Then I would like to state what God did for the Hebrews and the Jews. Jesus Christ came, and he did for those of us, because the Jews, Jesus saw that they rejected him. And he went to the Gentiles. He said, that woman. Why is all the time God need a woman to do what he won't done? Unless it's <isn't me. laughs> You know, I always say, I said, Lord, when I get to heaven, if I get a chance, I want to ask some questions. Why did you put me in the sleep when you brought that woman out there? Somebody said, gave her another line. I said, okay, that's how that is. But anyway, the whole thing that we see in America, we and the fivefold, we who have the gifts, we who know the nine gifts, we who have the work in the body. One young man said that did some work in my house. He told me, he said, I have the ministry of helps. I may judge when I measure. And I said, as long as his work that be done is proper, he did. So at least he confessed that. But I say this, the reason why there's getting ready to be a great explosion in America, and it's called the Holy Ghost explosion, because God's going to let us know what it's going to do with his church through Jesus Christ. And my take notice, he said, anyone of y'all got the New Testament? I want one of y'all to get the Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 for me, please. Please.
I'm okay, telling you about my... I have it here.
Okay. What it says?
2:14 Hebrews. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. See, the word tells us point blankly that Jesus Christ destroyed that he might be partaker. He had to come and enter into, but the flesh he had was not flesh of the earth. His flesh was from heaven. Are you there? Are y'all there? Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, because the flesh. Amen. And when I was writing my thesis for my doctorate, I made a statement. Blood, when they went into the temple, they had to sprinkle blood. But blood from on the cross, blood bleeded out. And what God did through his son, Jesus Christ. Read on, sister, right quick.
Read, continue. And release those who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage.
My God. My God, my God. My God.
Yes.
Woo. He did it for us. He did it for us. Amen?
Amen.
And when he did it for us, so we have a right to love him. Am I right about it?
Amen.
Amen. I'm getting a little happy, but I'm all right. Don't worry about it. I'm getting happy, but okay. I know one other thing I will say to the body of Christ is this. When you look at, go to 1 John 5 and 14, or 5 and 15, please. Because this I want to show you. We got confidence. Do y'all have confidence?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Some
yes.
God. Does anybody have 1 John chapter 5, verses 14? And now this is the confidence that we have. This is the confidence we have. This is the confidence that I have. The confidence. I coincide with what he's doing because I put all I have into him. I put my life, my wherewith, my understanding, because of the confidence that I have in him. How do I know? Because what he has shown me from where I was, a nobody to somebody, a nothing to a something, because God sent his son who took my place. And gave his life for all of us. Because in giving his life for all of us, it was to a point where nobody even loved him as he was being whipped. Nobody. All they did was cry out. But he said, Father, we know the story. He said, Father, forgive them. Even dying. Now, how many dying men got that attitude? He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them. And we have to say to those people that don't understand you and I, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. When they want to put you down, don't want to be around you, forgive them, Father, they know not. But we want to be able to get close as we can to them and tell them what thus said the Lord. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
They really don't know.
Amen.
They really don't know.
I want to thank both of y'all for being on there with me tonight. And tonight was Tracy's night, and she had a great time. But I want to introduce you to her, Sonya, so that y'all can communicate with one another. I will send each one of y'all information. And I want to show on that side, but I want it to be known. When you obey God, God will bless you. He will. No matter what nobody else say, God still loves Y-O-U and Y-O-U and Y-O-U. And me and them. Why? Because we have accepted his son, Jesus Christ. And you know what I found out? One day as I was studying, maybe this passed by, I don't know, I was praying, I said, wait a minute. When Jesus said, he said, I do nothing or say nothing unless the Father tells me what to do. He couldn't raise Lazarus from life until he heard the Father. He couldn't get that woman what he did because he heard the Father. So in other words, if the Father did not say it to him, and we in Jesus Christ, Jesus said, if you be in me and I in you, when we go to the Father, I'll come to pray this. And I mean, I'm in a position where I say, Lord, Father, before I even come to you, I know you hear me, but I want to come to Jesus. And I want to ask him to forgive me of any sins that I've committed, knowing or unknowing, some sins that I've not settled. Before I come to you, Father, I'm asking you tonight, today, tomorrow, in the name of Yeshua, that you will heal. That I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. So when I stand before you, Father, when the enemy attacks me and charges me, he will say, I don't see nothing but the blood.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
I don't see nothing but the blood. So why are you choosing my sister and my sisters and my brother? Well, all I see is nothing but the blood. The blood of who? The blood of my son. And that's what's going to get us into the victory seat. Amen?
Amen. Thank you.
I'd like each one of y'all to lead us out with prayer. Our time is just about up. So will the Lord move on, so we close our prayer tonight. One of you sisters.
Go ahead, Tracy.
Father, we thank you for this time. Come together in fellowship surrounded around your word. Your word has gone forth, and I pray in Jesus' name that it has not fallen on deaf ears. In Jesus' name, I pray that the word of God will take root in the hearts of the hearers, be planted, and bear much fruit. In Jesus' name, I pray for the blessing and the growth of this radio ministry beyond what we can ask or think. I pray for financial blessings to come from the north, south, east, and the west to support and uphold this ministry and the vision. I pray that this ministry will maintain integrity, that the word of God will always go forward in its pure form, uncompromised, undiluted with any untruth. In Jesus' name, I pray that you would add to this ministry ministers and ministries that are approved and sent by you. Until we meet again, Lord, I pray that you will just continue to bless us and increase us and keep us focused and standing in faith on the word of God.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And one of the things, sisters, when we get off the line, I'm gonna have this message uploaded so y'all can hear it tomorrow. It's gonna do it. And if y'all want me to tell you how to do it, I'll send y'all an email. I'll tell you what I go to on the website of the radio station, how you can look at it, because it's a good message y'all were talking tonight. You two women, one on the northeast side, one down south, talking about Jesus Christ.
Man.
You tell me the devil ain't
here.
a slew foot, as I always said, he's a slew foot, snagger foot, Paulus. All he can do is just roar. He can't do nothing but just yawn. He can't bite, he can't put his teeth. He ain't got no paws to close. But yes, I want to do, Father, before I come in the name of Jesus. Oh, thanksgiving in my heart for the many blessings. And I ask your name tonight, Father, that you would bless us accordingly, that our wits, according to our will, is with your will, is our will, that we might lean on you. You be leading posts for us. Your word says you are a buckler for those who trust in you. And you are, well, your words say, I trust in the Lord, and you lifted me up out of the miry clay, and you set my feet on solid ground. I believe tonight these sisters have the same thing. I pray, Father, that you will bless them and keep them. I pray for the men that are coming, that they will see what God is doing through Jesus Christ. May all men submit to the name of Jesus Christ. And, Father, I pray for America. I pray for the president. I pray for both branches of the judicial. I pray for the three branches. I pray for the reality of Jesus Christ will become now, not tomorrow, now. For you are now, God. You're not a tomorrow, God. You're now, God. Now things happen. Yeah. Now we have. Now we speak it. Now we do it. And I believe tonight, now, we've had joy in our heart. Now we've had peace in our heart. Now we've had understanding. Thank you, Father. Now we believe, Father. I believe for my brother-in-law. I believe that he's completely healed in this life, and he's just. And so speak words, Father. I believe the faith that I have. I thank you, Father, for all the things that you have done for us this night. And for those that have trusted you and those who are listening, I want to say we love you with the love of Jesus Christ. Move, Father, tonight that we just say, Ali, 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 Ali. We praise you with the highest praise. We praise you with the highest praise. We praise you with the highest praise. It is in Jesus' name of Nazareth. Amen, and God bless y'all.
Amen. God bless y'all.
Amen. God bless you.
I love you. I love you.
Dr. Hunter.
I love you. And you knew about it.
Amen.
I see you. God bless you. Amen.
And God bless you. Good night.
Amen. Good night. Okay. Set this up. And I'm going to cut this out.